This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. That was Johnny snuffling his nose. Is that the word? What would you say?
I don't know. I think I was just like...
You took a drink and then you're like...
Breathing in deep.
Yeah. Anyway.
I was breathing deep.
Breathing deeply.
This is Breathing Deep.
Welcome Johnny. To Breathing Deeply with Johnny. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
We're punch drunk today.
I want to punch something.
Yeah, so... Should we do some witty banter before we get into the year 2007?
Bantering witty about?
I don't know. What do you want to punch? Why do you want to punch something today?
I've been wanting to punch something for a few weeks now.
Really?
Yeah. Like a bear.
A bear. Yeah, I suggested a bear. Or a kangaroo.
I totally would wrestle a bear.
Koala?
I'm not punching a tiger. Punch a koala. Mean.
Just punch one of those stupid koalas right in their dumb faces.
Cute.
I don't know. Haley shared a picture of a wet koala with me.
A wet koala?
Like
it
soaked.
Fell in the water?
Like, that is the thing nightmares are made of.
Oh, okay.
So, I'll share that when we're done. All right. So, yeah. The year is 2007. It was
Do
a
you
good
have
year
all your
movies.
Data and that? Like, who's president? And
no, I didn't bother.
You know what site you go to.
Well, the president was George W. Bush.
Right. But you know what you go to for is that born, what year were you born site? And it'll tell you all that data.
Yeah.
Let me
do that
the
real
year
quick.
You were born or whatever. They used to sell those books at Bob Evans.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
Yeah. But they had like the website on the back where it was like year you were born or whatever. And it would have like the gas price and all that.
Let's see here. It's not. It's not giving me any of this.
Oh, we need to have Aaron back on the show.
Why?
I asked him how West Virginia was.
Oh.
And then he told me that he sold some cool stuff. Plus got drunk with Johnny Cage.
Oh, you didn't see the things where
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, as I'm looking for the year 2007, tell us about Aaron's Instagram account.
The year 2007.
Do you remember that from... Conan back in the day when it was
in
the year 2000. But then it got past 2000,
right,
but they still did in the year. No, they still did in the year 2000.
It just wasn't funny anymore.
No. All right. In the year 2000, the world was a different place.
2007, I hope.
2007, sorry.
I was going to say, because I did the random picker and I picked 2007, not 2000.
Ew.
What?
The top-selling movie was Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
That came out in 2007?
According to this thing.
Huh.
All right. This is taking too long. All right. So we picked movies from 2007, just like we did with 1990, and we're going to talk about them. And Johnny.
Was it not working for you?
It was taking too long. Anyway, you
gas
go first.
Gas prices were expensive.
Gas
Everything
was
crazy.
I do believe gas was like almost $5 here in Ohio.
Was it?
Yeah, because that was the year the kid bought 07 was born. And that was the reason I got rid of
the... Oh, see, you could have said that. That was the year your kid was
born. It's the reason I got rid of the SUV when I had that Honda Element. That was awesome because gas was so expensive.
All over now.
I know.
Like, I wish I had it still.
I was looking at Auto Trader for one the other day.
Were you?
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can get a 2009 for $5,000.
Why not?
I don't need a second car.
Third car.
Well, no, that's not my
you
car.
You could pay that car off like that, though, $5,000. Money in the bank. Cancel your trip to Celebration.
Ooh, no. Why would I do that?
It's an Element.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What's your first movie?
Why do I got to go first? You got more movies than I do.
I do.
Because I did like say it was supposed to be only five movies.
I don't remember you saying five. Because you did more than five last time.
Go look at the notes. The notes had that in there.
Anywho. All right. I'll go first.
I didn't have five movies. I only have five movies last
time.
All right.
So.
You had five movies last time, too.
I had. And then I had a whole bunch of honorable mentions. All right. My first movie is Disturbia.
Okay.
Starring Shia LaBeouf. Directed by DJ Caruso.
I liked it when it was called Rear Window.
I did like it when it was called Rear Window. And Rear Window is actually my favorite Hitchcock film.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed this. It's Shia LaBeouf, David Moore, Sarah Romer, and Carrie-Anne Moss.
David Morse.
Morse, sorry.
Yeah.
I was really surprised by how much I liked this movie when I saw it, and I've watched it a few times since then. I did not see it in the theater.
I only watched it once.
But I like that whole Rear Window trope, you know, like kind of like the Groundhog's Day thing, like
Shia LaBeouf
what's going on with the neighbors.
Like a Splinter that year.
This was like, well, he had one of the Transformers movies.
The Transformers movie.
Was it the Transformers? Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I really liked him in this one. I thought it was a fun movie. It didn't take itself too seriously. I liked when he was on house arrest and he was like keeping his ankle in the yard, like, you know, just trying to do whatever, like, he could to
do whatever he could.
So
like everybody
anyway,
with an ankle bracelet.
Yeah. It was filmed in Pasadena, California.
So you did, you went.
No, I'm looking at Wikipedia.
Oh,
I did not do like further research.
As we record.
It made $117 million on it
too. Should I get on Wikipedia?
Maybe. But it made $117 million on a $20 million budget. So,
I gotta get
success.
On Wikipedia.
All right. What's your first movie?
Hold on. I'm getting on Wikipedia first.
Okay.
My first movie is The Golden Compass.
Oh, The Golden Compass.
Yep.
Never saw it.
You never saw that?
No.
It's actually not that bad.
That's the one with
it's
Daniel
not that
Craig,
good
right?
either, but it's what?
Is that Daniel Craig?
Yeah.
He's in that one? Yeah.
Nicole Kidman.
With the polar bear.
Yeah.
I have seen that. Never mind.
Yeah, Ian McKellen plays a polar bear.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I saw that. Yeah. I'm thinking of something else.
Okay.
I don't know.
Twilight?
I've seen the first Twilight. It took me four times to watch it.
All of them.
Did that come out in 2007?
I didn't see
that on my list. I imagine that would have been the top grossing movie, not Pirates of the Caribbean at Poop's Edge.
Why is it at Poop's Edge?
Dude, those movies, I only like the first one. I didn't like any of the other ones.
Yeah, so Golden Compass is a fantasy film based on a book called The Northern Lights.
Well, I was going to look up the rest of your movies on Wikipedia for you.
Trying to cheat. Stars Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig has a supporting role. Ava Green, Sam Elliott.
Is Asa Butterfield in that one?
No, Dakota Blue
Richards. Hugo. He was in Hugo.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the one I didn't see.
And Ian McKellen.
Cool. And why did you like it?
I just think it's a good fantasy movie. I mean, it's not a great fantasy
movie. It had cool
visuals. Yeah, it's cool visuals. The
a lot of
CG is actually decent. Yeah.
A lot of style, not a lot of substance.
Yeah, that would be a good way of putting it. I've never read the book. I don't know how different it is from the book. Since you're doing budgets and box office, the budget was $180 million. The box office was $372 million.
Not too bad. Made its money.
It was not successful enough to get the other two made.
Yeah.
There were supposed to be two more in the cycle. It had an interesting concept because it involved parallel worlds and, you know, things going on with these creatures that were attached to people and that type of stuff.
I think
Nicole Kidman was a really good villain.
If you put that movie out now,
I probably would pick.
I think it does way better. Yeah. Like, you know, it's now is the time for things like that. Like we were talking about, what was it in the text chain last night? A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah.
Right. It didn't do very well. It wasn't a very good movie.
You know, I went and looked at why you were talking about, like, the book is kind of.
The book's a mess.
The book's a mess. But the whole thing that, like, it sounds like why the movies don't work is because they leave the part that she wrote, the Christianity part.
Out. Yeah.
And I think that's what makes the book work for people.
It's such an integral part of the book. But, you know, she even said, like, this book is unfilmable. Because they did a TV movie of that on ABC.
Yeah, it was another Disney production.
Right. Anyway, all right. We're not talking about that.
Right.
Anything else about The Golden Compass?
No. I mean, you know, it's a easy watch and a good watch. Yeah. I'm sure that everybody's probably seen it.
Cool.
At one point or another. I really liked Nicole Kidman being a villain.
Yeah.
I thought she was kind of creepy in that. Ava Green is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was like one of her first big like roles.
American roles.
Yeah, like show up in a U.S. movie.
What was that one she did? The French one, The Dreamers or whatever?
Yeah, I think so.
Where like it was the weird teenagers in a flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, Sam Elliott playing a cowboy is always cool. So, you know, even in a fantasy world than that.
He's a cowboy.
Ian McShane I think. And Freddie Highmore played the voice of the animal that was.
Oh, cool.
Lyra.
I think
that was her name. Lyra's animal. Sorry. I haven't watched it in a while. But I have watched it more frequently than most of the movies in 2007 that are.
Cool.
Movies I seen in 2007.
All right. My next one is the Clive Owen Monica Bellucci. Shoot 'em up.
I've never seen that one.
It also had Paul Giamatti, which was, you know, it's always fun when Paul Giamatti shows up as a bad guy, no less.
Isn't he always a bad guy?
No, I mean, he's
even
always
when he's
kinda,
a good guy, he comes off as a bad guy.
Yeah. Anyway, this movie's awesome. This movie is so crazy. It's you've seen it, right? Or no?
No, I've never.
Oh, you've never seen it. Okay, so it's about a guy who's like an assassin, and
is this the one with the baby?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I've seen previews for it.
He ends up with a baby, and the mob is trying to kill the baby, and so he's like running around shooting. He's shoots with all sorts of guns and stuff.
This is where the whole sequence in the last Fast and the Furious movie came from.
Yeah.
Was this one movie.
Exactly.
With Jason Statham on a plane with a baby shooting at people.
It's a much less violent version of this movie.
Okay.
So, I mean, this movie is a hard R. It's like, it's pretty gory, and, you know, it's got some great gun battles and things like that.
Yeah.
It was directed by Michael Davis.
Clive Owen for a minute was like an action star.
Yeah.
And that, so.
So this was like right after he had done that, the thing for BMW, the driver.
Oh,
I don't
know
if you remember those commercials.
Yeah. I kind of
actually have that DVD.
Yeah.
So, those were really cool. So this was kind of like one of his first
Sin
like
City
big thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was really good in this, and it's a lot of fun. It was like $4.99 on iTunes not too long ago. It's on HBO right now if you wanted to watch it.
Okay.
So yeah, and Monica Bellucci.
Since I'm on a ride of watching movies I haven't seen.
Right.
So
Monica Bellucci is a hooker with a heart of gold, and you know she kind of helps him out.
I mean, she's not playing a witch that curses everybody.
She is not, and she's not Persephone.
When was she Persephone?
In The Matrix.
Oh, that's right.
So. Or the second two Matrix.
I was
going
to say, did
this Matrix
actually happen?
But, yeah. Anywho.
Movies I remember her from was like the Brothers Grimm.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Yep. So this one was a $39 million budget on a $26.8 million box office.
Oh.
So it lost money.
It lost.
So, you know, when I say it's a great movie.
Clive Owen is not an action star.
Well. When I say it's a great movie, it's a great bad movie that really enjoy.
It's just an action movie.
Yeah.
Action movies don't always make their money back.
No, sir.
But they become cult classics.
All right, so I'm going to do another one before you
go
since
ahead.
I have more, and
since
that'll
you
give you time to look up.
I already did.
Oh, okay. So my next one is Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
I've never seen
with
that either.
With John C. Reilly. It's a Judd Apatow.
I would have to see
joint.
The Johnny Cash movie before I would have to see that.
Yeah. It was actually
Walk the Line.
So it was directed by Jake Kasdan.
Okay.
Well, you sound like Kermit there.
Okay.
So it was produced by Judd Apatow and Jake Kasdan, written by Judd Apatow and Jake Kasdan. And it's John C. Reilly, Jenna Fischer, Tim Meadows, and Kristen Wiig. If you've seen Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, Walk the Line. Johnny Cash movie,
well,
right?
Yeah, but
is
like
this is a take
Bohemian
off?
Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Remade Dewey Cox.
Oh, really?
Just without all the comedy.
Okay.
Like the movie opens with John C. Reilly as an older Dewey Cox sitting there thinking, and Tim Meadows steps in and he goes, before Dewey Cox can sing, he's got to think about his whole life.
Okay.
And then it flashes back to when he's a little kid.
Life, yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody did the exact same thing. And like, I don't know. This movie was great. I actually have the soundtrack. So,
okay.
It's just one of those fun little things. $35 million budget, $20 million box office. So, you know, it's this is one that definitely found a niche like later on in home video.
Yeah, it's another one of the ones that's a cult.
It was movie. It was but I mean like Eddie Vedder was in this playing himself. Ghostface Killah from Wu-Tang is in there playing himself. So I mean, it's definitely like making fun of Walk the Line, but it's also making fun of all of these,
everything,
just any biopic that they've ever done.
Every music biopic ever done.
Yep. But no, Walk the Line's a fun one for sure. And the music's good. The music's actually really good. It's very Johnny Cash inspired.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, but I think he is a fan of Johnny Cash.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Yep. So, all right, cool. What do you got next?
My next one is National Treasure: Book of Secrets.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
The that's National the sequel, Treasure right? movies.
Yeah, that's the sequel. That's the one with the Civil War and
oh yeah, where his family
the Lost City of Gold.
Yeah, where his family got framed for like assassinating Lincoln, right?
Yeah.
Where it was
yeah. they Harris is, has the diary page from John Wilkes Booth's diary and
that
does a really bad Southern accent.
That Memphis Reigns. I mean, Nick Cage's family.
Until he's almost dead.
Yeah.
Then he's got his accent.
Ah, yeah.
Everybody in this movie's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Ed Harris, I like pretty much in anything, so.
What's his little sidekick?
Riley?
Riley. Yeah. I always liked him. And Justin, I like how he gets his.
Justin Barth.
I like how he gets his Ferrari repossessed in this one.
Justin Bartha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen him in any other movie.
He's in a bunch of
National
TV shows. He does like TV shows. Oh, okay. He's a TV actor.
We finally get to see who his mom is because they mentioned her in the first movie, Annette and Natella Mirren.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. Just had, you know, everybody came back from the first one that, you know, didn't get arrested and put in jail.
Yeah.
Didn't die. I mean, Sean Bean survived the movie.
Yeah, what's up with that?
It's like he should have fell down the pit.
How does Sean Bean survive
like
a movie?
He should have been one of the guys that fell off, like at the end, like you know, he tried to help him and he died anyways, like that.
I think that's just a great twist.
Keep it going.
That you let Sean Bean survive.
Yeah, he could come back in a third one. If they do a third one,
yeah,
I'd like to see a third one.
What was the budget in box office on that one?
The budget was $130 million, and the box office was $457.4 million.
Oh, wow.
This was a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
This came out on December 21st.
Okay.
Now, squeaked right into that 2007.
Just barely.
Fun movie. I mean, you know.
Who directed it?
Don't think it. John Turteltaub.
Oh, okay.
Also directed the first one. Don't think it's as good as the first one, but it's still fun.
Well, that first one.
They all had a good chemistry in the first one.
Right.
And it carries over into this one. And bringing Helen Mirren in actually helped it.
Yeah.
I think. And just, you know. A fun movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are fun, like, little Indiana Jones light.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, so. I think, what makes it fun.
Yeah.
I said that, you know, I always tell Elva that I would do a National Treasure 3. I would write it.
Oh, yeah.
And tie it into Pirates of the Caribbean. Because
okay.
They're both Jerry Bruckheimer productions. But I said I could do it, and literally you'd have Johnny Depp and Nicolas Cage in the same movie together, just eating up scenes.
Just chewing scenes up.
A lot of mumbling.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
But no, I said that would be a cool idea to, like, tie it to Pirates, but not have, like, Pirates in it or anything.
Yeah.
But, like, tie it to something that happened in a Pirates movie or something. And
yeah.
I think that would be a neat
way. That would be neat.
Yeah. Because they've done, you know, they've gone west and they've gone into New York City, but it's, like, it would be cool to see them, like, in Florida looking for, you know, the Fountain of Youth or something like that, or something tied with the Fountain of Youth.
Sure.
I like copyright, that. Copyright.
So, yeah, dude.
Call
like,
me Jerry Bruckheimer.
Maybe what we do, Johnny, is you write it and we talk about it here on the podcast and copyright
and then they have
it.
To and, come in
and then they have to pay you for it.
Yeah.
So
that would do it.
Cool. Anything else?
No.
All right. My next one is Blades of Glory.
The Will Ferrell, John Heater
ice skating movie.
Yeah, I've seen that.
With Will Arnett and Amy Poehler.
Jenna Fisher in that, too.
And Jenna Fisher's. Yeah, this is the second Jenna Fisher one, which is funny because Pam's my least favorite character on The Office.
Wow.
It's got Craig T. Nelson in it, though, so you can never go wrong with that. And William Fincher.
Fincher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like him when he shows up in things. So this was directed by Josh Gordon and Will Speck. In the screenplay was actually the story idea was by Busy Phillips.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then it kind of went through a bunch of different screenwriters.
Yeah.
So she ended up being uncredited for the screenplay, but she got the story by credit.
That's cool.
So, which I thought that was funny. I didn't know that. It was a $61 million budget, made $145, almost $146 million. And, I mean, this was an R-rated comedy.
Did you see, like, which of these did you see in the theater? Like, have you seen
so
any
far,
of these?
I've seen all of them in the theater.
Oh, you did see all of them in the theater?
Actually, okay. There's only one movie on my list that I did not see in the theater.
Okay.
And it's my favorite movie of 2007 that I watch the most.
Two out of the five I didn't see in a theater.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen Golden Compass.
Oh,
no,
I didn't see Disturbia in the theater. Oh, okay. So five of the seven I saw in the theater. Yeah. So,
Golden Compass I've seen in the theater. I didn't see National Treasure or my next one.
Okay. Okay, so real quick about this one, though.
Yeah.
One, I love sports movies. They're always fun. Two, I like sports comedies.
Sure.
And this is like kind of like an ice skating Caddyshack or like,
it's
a goofy
Animal movie.
House.
It's
totally
like once,
goofy, yeah. Will Ferrell as Chaz Michael Michaels, I had that right, is hilarious. Like, he's not like Ron Burgundy, like
right.
Pantheon of Anchorman funny,
right?
But God, I love him. And this is John Heder's like first big role after Napoleon Dynamite,
right? Yeah,
and you know, he's not at all Napoleon Dynamite,
no,
which
not at all,
was so fun to watch and see. I will say. Like, he does these characters, right? So he's Jimmy McElery, and he's that, right?
Yeah.
And then he's Napoleon Dynamite. And there's
right.
no crossover. And then when you see him in, like, the Benchwarmers,
right.
he's not that character. He's not any of those two characters.
Yeah.
And I think he doesn't get a lot of credit for how good of a comedic actor he really is.
Well, even, like, serious stuff, because he's been in some actual serious roles. I've seen him in... They did a Walt Disney biopic called Walt Before Mickey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he plays Walt's brother in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you look at him and you're like, he doesn't, like, you don't even think of Napoleon
right.
Dynamite. You're like, yeah, he actually is a pretty good actor.
He doesn't get enough credit. I like that Will Arnett and Amy Poehler, who were married at the time, are Strawns and Fairchild and Von Waldenberg.
Yeah.
And they're brother and sister, but...
Right.
It's highly alluded to that they're hooking up. Which was really, really, really funny. So just a fun movie. Just a fun one to watch too. So all right. What do you have next?
My next one is Stardust. Based off of Neil Gaiman comic miniseries. Directed by Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah. That was his directorial debut, right?
Was it? I don't
know. No, Cloverfield
no,
was. Yeah.
Matthew Vaughn didn't direct Cloverfield.
He didn't?
Layer Cake was his first movie.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Layer Cake's a good movie. I like Layer Cake.
Yeah, this one.
Layer Cake was 2007.
I think that was 06, 05.
You talk. I'll look it up.
Well, actually, I could just look it up real fast.
Why did you like Stardust, Johnny?
Career. Why did I like Stardust?
Yeah.
I just think it's a decent movie.
Yeah.
Well acted, well directed.
Yeah.
Good effects.
It was 2004.
Yeah. I thought it was 2005, but yeah.
I didn't see Stardust.
Strong cast.
So.
Claire Danes, Charlie Cox.
Okay.
Jason Fleming.
Wait, Charlie Cox is in Daredevil Charlie
is
Cox?
In Daredevil Charlie
Interesting.
Cox. Yeah. Mark Strong, Rupert Everett.
You always got to like Mark Strong.
Ricky Gervais.
I like Ricky Gervais.
Robert De Niro?
Yeah, I can give or take Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro's character in this is one of the best characters he's ever played.
I don't know. Did you see Dirty Grandpa?
Yes.
That's my favorite.
That's
Robert
the thing
De Niro
is like
ever.
He as he's gotten older, he's gotten more into these comedic roles.
Yeah.
Where it's like there's an unexpected twist with his role in this movie where I was like, that's cool.
Okay.
And it's like, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer is in it.
I remember the trailer. I just never
Peter
saw the movie. Ooh, okay.
One of his last movies, I believe.
And what was it about?
It is, let's see what it says here. Where's it at? Sorry, I'm doing the Wikipedia. The film follows Tristan, a young man from a fictional town of Wall in Great Britain. Wall is a town on the border of the magical fantasy kingdom of Stormhold. Tristan enters the magical world to collect a fallen star to give to his crush. In return for her hand in marriage, he collects the star, who, to his surprise, is a woman named Yvain. Witches and the princes of Stormhold are hunting for Yvain, And then it goes from there. It's an adventure movie.
Okay.
They describe it on Wikipedia as a romantic adventure fantasy, which is close to right.
Yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer plays a witch, and she's pretty good at playing a witch. Awesome. There's some really like dark stuff that happens toward the end of the movie. But yeah, it's a good movie.
Nice. Yeah, it's not.
I mean, it's a Matthew Vaughn, you know.
It's somewhere. I think it's on Netflix or something. Yeah, it's streaming. I came across it the other day.
So the budget on it was $70 million.
Okay.
And it brought home $135.6 million.
Okay, so it almost made its money back.
Yeah, so it made its money back.
It has to really double. For them, like, because like the movie theaters
get
like,
most of the ones I've read so far.
Dude, I've had two that were, you know, well under what they made, what they cost. So
it won a Hugo Award.
Oh yeah, cool,
for best dramatic presentation, long form, and that. So yeah, it came out early in the year and was on Blu-ray and DVD by the end of the year.
Awesome.
Which is, you know, I call it the Space Pulse thing. Everything's out 2 months after it's been in the theater. It should just come out now with
we're watching the movie.
Yeah.
Right now. This is us. Now. We'll fast forward.
Yeah, show us what's going on.
So, all right. I didn't even know
Henry Cavill's in this movie.
Is he?
Yeah.
Cool. I watched
Ben Barnes is in this movie too.
Huh. Speaking of Henry Cavill, I watched The Man from U.N.C.L.E. again the other night.
I bought it a few months ago.
Well, I told you I didn't like it the first time I saw it.
So you got to watch it a couple times.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it more the second
time.
Most of his
movies were...
Well, see, I like Guy Ritchie. I really like Guy Ritchie.
Well,
so.
I mean, but like even Sherlock Holmes and the second Sherlock Holmes, it's kind of all the movies that he's doing remakes of stuff. It's like that first time you watch it, you're kind of like, meh, it's okay.
I don't know. That King Arthur movie's pretty badass.
Meh, it was okay the first time.
I love that movie.
The second time it was good.
Anyway. Okay,
but it's the
same
as The Legend of Tarzan.
Yeah,
I don't think he didn't direct that, but The Legend of Tarzan with Skarsgård, and Sam Jackson was actually a good movie. But it took the second time for me to go, this is a good movie.
All right,
yeah,
cool. All right, well, hey, let's take a quick break and sell some t-shirts, and we'll come back with the rest of our movies. Hey, we're back. So go buy some Flying Pork Apparel t-shirts and help Brad out. Help us out and have cool shirts. Or be shirty, as you will. I don't know. That's Brad's thing. It's really funny. It's weird. All right. Am I up? It's my turn, right?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay. So my next one is Superbad.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you see that one?
It's been a long time, but yeah, I seen it.
So I love Superbad. It's another Judd Apatow. It was directed by Greg Mottola, written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. So it was Jonah Hill, Michael Cera, Seth Rogen, Bill Hader, Martha McIsaac, Emma Stone, and it introduced the world to McLovin, Christopher Mintz plays, however you say it. Let's see. It was $20 million budget, and it did $169.9 million in the box office.
Kudos to them.
Way to go, guys. I love this movie. I watch this movie every chance I get. It's a good time. Emma Stone is really good in this.
Yeah, she's one of the
better things. With Jonah Hill. You know, if you like Jonah Hill, I think even though he's been nominated for an Oscar, right? For I think Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Or maybe Wolf of Wall Street and Moneyball both, where he played essentially the same character. One was just a good version of it, and the other was the bad guy version of it. He is so funny in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to,
trying to remember the movie. I mean, it's like,
so he's got this thing. He's got the thing where he has to draw the penises.
Okay.
And, you know, he's got that, like, affliction. And then, you know, Seth Rogen and Bill Hader as the cops. when they light their own car on fire was really funny. And McLovin was great. It was he became an icon overnight with that character.
Yeah, that's pretty much all he is
and
now.
What was his name in, I forget, in Kick-Ass?
What, like his?
Oh, it's MF-er.
Yeah.
That's his name, yeah. You know, Michael Cera is in this, and he's just Michael Cera.
Does he have, is this the one where he has the scene with James Franco? Wasn't there a scene in a movie with Michael Cera and James Franco, and it was something with drugs or something, but it wasn't like, it was like funny. It wasn't like,
oh, it's, yeah, I think it's this one.
It's this one. So, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Cause he gets the blood on his, on his pant leg.
Like I said, it's been a long time since I've seen this.
Yeah.
One.
I don't know. I really like this movie a lot. It's funny. The cops throw the Molotov cocktail at the police car.
Yeah.
Good movie. Definitely very R-rated comedy again.
Sure. Yeah.
There were a bunch of good R-rated comedies that came out in this year.
Judd Apatow was pumping stuff out.
I mean, this was like right in the wheelhouse of this and the 40-Year-Old Virgin,
right? Yeah.
Knocked Up, you know, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, all the Seth Rogen, stuff, Freaks and Geeks, all the
Freaks and Geeks, all they out. Were all making their mark.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got next?
My next one is TMNT. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle animated.
The animated.
Yeah, the one that was from Imagi.
I had avoided that for a long time, and I remember you were like, you need to watch this. You'll really like this movie, and you were absolutely right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really early on with that CG animation.
It was, but like for this, it worked
so
really
well.
Good. I mean, even like the humans in it, the way that they did them, it looked really cool.
Yeah.
And that really cool cast of, I mean, like voice actors, like known actors and voice actors, because like the first actor that shows up on the list is James Arnold Taylor.
Yeah.
Who played Obi-Wan Kenobi on Clone Wars.
He was Leonardo, right?
I believe he played Leonardo. Chris Evans played Casey Jones. Sarah Michelle Gellar played April O'Neil.
Yep.
Mako played Splinter.
Yep.
This was
R.I.P.
his last
Mako.
Movie. He passed away during this movie. Patrick Stewart was in it.
Yeah, he was the baddish guy.
Zi Zhang, who played Karai, and that she was from. Crouching
was this
Tiger,
the first
Hidden
time
Dragon.
We saw Karai?
No, she was in.
Was she in the cartoon?
One of the
prior
earlier
to this?
Cartoons.
Okay.
Yeah, she's been in the comic books.
Like, yeah, I just wasn't sure.
I think this was the first major thing you see her in. So it's a cool movie. I mean, it's just, they had defeated Shredder, and it was pretty much showing how they all kind of went in on their own ways of doing things. And it shows a story from the past of this guy, this general who had built an army up and was taking over the world and did something with the alignment of the planets and... You know,
it was one of those whole like quickening convergence.
Well, you know, you're going to live forever because you did this and your generals are all statues. And, you know, then there's like the cool thing with the monsters.
Those monsters were all
really
cool.
Well, the monsters were cool because they actually tied it into the turtles, like them mistaking the turtles for one of the monsters.
Right.
And it's like that was a cool way of doing this story. So, I mean, it just looks cool and it's a fun turtle story.
Yeah, I like the whole thing where the brothers had essentially all split up.
Yeah.
Mikey is, you know, doing kids' birthday parties.
Yeah, like disguising himself as himself.
And then Leo is down in South America.
Training to be a better leader, but how?
Yeah, I'm not quite... Well, by stopping drug lords.
Raphael had
people.
The coolest one being the Nightshade.
Yep.
Yeah, the Nightshade guy.
So, and Donnie was tech support.
Yeah.
Like literal tech support.
Like literally
like
sitting in the
He
in
was
the
he went got a he went got a day
tech
job.
Support.
So
it was just a fun movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, James Arnold Taylor played Leonardo.
Yeah.
Nolan North, who played Superboy on Young Justice and Superman, played Raphael.
He was a Hulk at some point too, wasn't he?
I don't know. The guy who played Michelangelo's name was actually Mikey.
Fair enough.
Mikey Kelly. And then Mitchell Whitfield played Donatello.
Okay.
And then, like I said, Mako played Splinter and Chris Evans and Patrick Stewart played Max Winters.
Yeah.
And then there was the Stone generals or Stone military leaders. Kevin Michael Richardson played one of those. pretty much was every like major voice actor.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Smith was in it.
Yep, yep.
Played the diner cook.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Fishburne narrated it at the beginning.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah,
he tells the story of the general of Max Winter's character and the other generals.
In 24 billion AD, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was cool, though. That had a cool opening sequence because it's like, you know, when you've seen the animation in the opening sequence, mm-hmm. you were like, okay, this movie's going to actually be good.
Yeah, this looks really good. So, very cool. All right, my next one.
Oh, did you want to know? Oh, I forgot.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, let me go back.
Box office and... I mean, it probably did okay.
I think it made like double what it took to make it.
That's good.
So, let's see. There we go. Sorry for the... Oh, let's see. budget of $34 million and made $95.6 million.
So, it made
money. This movie was only 87 minutes long, but it seemed longer than that.
Okay. Hold on. Don't say it seemed longer than that because it didn't drag. Yeah.
No,
I mean,
it don't drag,
they just fit a lot of story in 87 minutes.
Wow, that movie was only that long?
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. How many more do you have left? Do you have one more?
I have one more left.
Okay, perfect. All right, so my next one is Hot Fuzz.
Okay.
It is my favorite of the Cornetto trilogy.
All right.
It was in the U.S. Its budget was $12 million. In the U.S. alone, it made $80 million. I don't know quite what it did box office worldwide. But this is Edgar Wright at his finest, written by Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg. Starring Simon Pegg and Nick Frost and a just ton of other British actors. You got Martin Freeman, Bill Nighy.
Academy Award winning Olivia Colman.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
I just
Jim
know
Broadbent.
That because the other day we were watching something on one of the Mojo channels. Top 10 Olivia Colman roles. And that was the cop from that was. What's his name in this? The Hound.
Yeah.
Is in
Clegane.
Yarp.
Yeah, Yarp. I was sitting in a meeting the other day and somebody said the greater good, right?
Yeah.
And I just went, the greater good. Just totally under my breath. And the guy sitting next to me like heard me and laughed. So I was like, we're best friends now.
Yeah.
So this is the village of Samford Gloucestershire. What? And it's kind of a, they win Village of the Year every year, right?
Right.
Because they don't have any crime.
Right.
And they, because they practice the Rudy Giuliani school of like crime and homeless prevention by just killing everybody.
Kill everybody.
Just chuck them. Yeah.
Get rid of the bad element of the town.
Yeah. Freaking Timothy Dalton is so great in this movie.
Like this movie has like pretty much everybody who's been in.
It's like the adult Harry Potter.
Yeah,
right? Like Cate Blanchett is his girlfriend. Where
it's like
you
everybody
never see
who
her
wasn't
face,
in Harry Potter was in this.
All
movie.
The adults who weren't in Harry.
All the adults that weren't in Harry. Potter.
But then you had the guy that was Filch.
Yeah, yeah.
In here with the.
Well, it was literally like this movie where it was like the Shaun of the Dead cast.
Oh yeah,
with like a bunch of other people that were like you know in things you know.
Yeah. Like the local performance of Romeo and Juliet. The Baz Luhrmann version of Romeo and Juliet cracked me up. Lucy Punch. I love Lucy Punch. But yeah, it was.
Is Jim Broadbent in this?
Yeah, Jim Broadbent.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
He's Nick Frost's dad in this. He's the chief.
Yes.
So.
It's been a while since I watched this.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's just one of those things where
I just like the sequence. Like, you know, they made fun of sequences from Shaun of the Dead in the movie.
Oh yeah.
So the whole thing where in Shaun of the Dead, when Sean tries to jump the fence and knocks the fence over,
right?
And in this, he jumps the fences and he's like a mile away before Nick Frost even hits the first fence.
Well, it's funny because he jumps it right and then jumps, flips over, and then Nick Frost just
runs through it.
So
yeah.
I love when he gets partnered with Nick Frost, with Simon Pegg's Nicholas Angel.
Yeah,
which is a great name.
It's an action movie.
It is.
Name, yeah,
and he's the super cop of London.
Yeah,
and essentially what happened is the people of London or the police in London were like, "You have to go. You're ruining all
You're
of our
us
stats."
All look bad.
Which is right. Like he's the most like you know the most decorated in all of that. But at the end of the day, you know, he gets out there and he knows something's up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the whole like figuring that out and like the little just indiscretions or infractions that the Sanford citizens make that warrant a death sentence are hilarious.
Right.
Like the editor of the newspaper has too many typos.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a 15-year-old movie at this point. I think we can spoil it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts though is when Nick Frost is just continually asking Simon Pegg questions about
police procedure.
Just police work. Have you ever fired two guns at once? Have you ever done a high speed chase?
Because all he does is watch action movies. Yeah, fanatic.
And I love when he explains Point Break to him.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he chased him, he hurt his knee, and then he laid on the ground and screamed and fired his bullets in the air because he couldn't shoot him because he loved him so much. It's just, and like Nick Frost plays such an innocent character.
Oh yeah, like he's just like
just a teddy bear. And then what he turns into at the end, the little hand says it's time to rock and roll, and you know, they go. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you saw this one or not in the theater, but
I didn't see it in the theater, but I've seen it multiple times.
I mean, this is just a fabulous.
Once you've
fabulous
seen Shaun of the Dead, you have to see this because it's like this one and that are like pretty much like alternate universe versions of each other.
Yeah. You have Rafe Spall as one of the Andes and then Patty Constantine as the other one.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. It's just one of those things where the other running gag was Bill Bailey played the two desk sergeants, the twin brothers.
Oh yeah.
The one was surly but like nobody ever tells me nothing. Yep. You know, so that was fun.
But nobody like tells Nick that they're identity.
No, no one ever tells him that they're twins.
He's like, why?
And you don't find out until the end. Yeah. And the shootout at the end, when he comes in with the shotguns and he's on the horse, it's like, oh, this is so awesome.
Yeah, that's a cool sequence.
Way gorier than I thought it would be.
Oh, that thing with
the statue?
Timothy Dalton and the
I forgot about that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, I was thinking like the statue that falls on the newspaper editor. Yeah. And like, you know, he's like, oh.
Yep.
This is... I want to say Baby Driver is my favorite Edgar Wright movie.
Yeah,
but it's this one.
Is it?
It is definitely Hot Fuzz, and then it's probably Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah,
yeah,
I can see that. Yeah,
and then it's Shaun of the Dead, and then it's Baby Driver.
Okay,
which I think technically speaking, Baby Driver is like his most accomplished like movie from a technical standpoint. What he's
able
to do.
Well, it's like you watch everything he's done up until that point, and you can see where everything he's done is all in that movie. And
did you watch Spaced, the TV show?
No,
it's on
Hulu.
You have to watch it. It is so good.
So that was all of them, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was him and
Nick
Frost.
All of these people. Yeah, there's a ton of people.
Like anybody, like any of the unknowns in Shaun of the Dead are in Spaced.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Peter Jackson has a cameo in this movie.
Everybody had a cameo in this
movie. Right.
If you had a British accent.
So,
or
the one really funny thing is when he's getting, they're promoting him to sergeant and they're sending him out, right? And it's Martin Freeman. And he's like, well, I want to speak to the inspector. So then it's Steve Coogan.
Yep.
Cohen.
Yeah.
And then it's Bill Nighy as the chief inspector. And it's just... They're like, they all sit down and he'd been stabbed in the hand.
Yeah.
And they're like, so how's the hand? It's like, he's like, it's fine. Like he's getting more and more upset.
Right.
And they're like, dude, you're out of here. And then it's him and his Japanese peace lily.
Yeah.
And yeah. So
when the Cate Blanchett thing is hilarious. Yeah. I didn't know that for years. And then it's like, you know, she never takes the medical off.
Yeah.
It's just her. And it's like, wait a minute, that was Cate Blanchett.
And she's uncredited,
too. You watch it, and you're like, that is Cate Blanchett.
It wasn't until I got it on DVD, and I was listening to commentary.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think I was reading, like, IMDb's trivia, and it was in there, and I'm like, what? And then I go, I had to watch it, because I'm like, nah. And sure enough, I'm like, it is.
Yep. All right, what do you got next?
My last one's Transformers.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It was, you know...
This one, of all the Transformers, this is the most rewatchable one.
I agree with that. Yeah. Definitely. It's
and the best one probably too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we obviously have like a weird relationship with these movies because we both are huge Transformer fans, and you more, even more so than I am. And we got to see Transformers.
Well, but, it's like you got to see a live action movie and got to see these guys, like, you know, what they would look like as real robots and, you know, not cartoons.
But like fast forward to 2018 with Bumblebee, right? And the way they did the CGI with Bumblebee. Like, imagine if they would have made the Transformers that distinctive.
Like, made them look like their cartoon counterparts?
Not even that. Just, like, that, how they stood out. You always knew which Decepticon he was fighting.
Right.
In Bumblebee.
Right.
In Transformers, when they have the one will stand and one will fall fight.
Yeah.
In the woods, you don't even know who's who.
That's in the second one.
Whatever. Well, no, when they're fighting in the woods, sorry.
No, you in the first one, they don't fight in the woods.
What am I thinking of?
They fight in the city.
Oh, yeah, when they're, sorry.
Yeah, that's when.
No, yeah, when they're fighting downtown. Like, you don't know who's who.
Well, yeah, because, like, they had no identity of any of the Decepticons. The only Decepticons that you knew for sure were Decepticons, because you've heard their names before, was Starscream and Megatron. I mean, one of the tanks is called Devastator.
Right.
And it's like, wait.
Whoa, that's something else, Michael Bay?
Yeah, I think, like, there's one called Devastator, and then there's one called Bone Crusher, which was one of the pieces of Devastator. Right. So it's like...
And what was the cop car?
They just didn't have any...
Well, Blackout. No, he
was
Yeah,
Blackout was the only other one where you were like, you knew who he was because he was the first Decepticon you see.
Blackout was my favorite of those Transformers.
Yeah.
Of like I got a bunch of those.
Oh, the movie,
the movie ones?
Yeah.
And I remember being really frustrated with them because they were really hard to put together.
About a Blackout, like, later. And then they did they've done the studio series one, which looks 100% better.
Oh, yeah.
And has Scorponok.
Yep. Well, it came with a little Scorponok.
Yeah.
One.
Well, the Scorponok actually is pretty big.
Yeah.
Like, it fits on the back. Well, he's a $50 figure.
So Scorponok in Blackout, we're going to talk about toys the whole time we're talking about this movie. There's like a little cage.
It was a movie to sell toys.
Yeah. There's a little cage that he fits in. So, like, it's not like super tiny. He's got some size to him. But yeah.
This movie had Shia LaBeouf in it.
Yeah.
Tyrese Gibson, Josh Duhamel, Anthony Anderson, Rachel Taylor from Jessica Jones, Megan Fox, John Turturro, and John Voight.
So I love Anthony Anderson. David and I were talking about this the other day
because
I just rewatched Romeo Must Die.
Okay.
Because that's on HBO as well.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing I ever remember seeing
him
in.
Might have been like one of his first movies.
And I, like, you know, there was The Wire, right? He wasn't in The Wire, but there was The Wire, and you had like Avon Barksdale and Stringer Bell. And then Anthony Anderson played this, the leader of the One Niners on The Shield.
Yeah.
And like, they tried to do a version of that character later on in Sons of Anarchy with Harold Perrineau, where it was like the really well thought out gangsta.
Right.
And it just like, he was so just awesome. And so when I go back and I look at like those early movies where he was like the all shucks funny guy,
the goofy guy,
it just makes me love him even more. And then you look at what he does with Blackish, which I think is a super important TV show.
Right.
And it's so well written and acted and just like conscious of what it is and what it needs to do and say.
Right.
Like, it's really cool. So
I also forgot that, what you call it? To play Prime on the cartoon. Peter Cullen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Returns as Optimus Prime, and Hugo Weaving played Megatron.
Yeah.
The animal looking Megatron.
Yep.
Because that's what I thought he looked like, was like
the Beast Wars one.
And Bernie Mac. I forgot Bernie Mac was
too. When he sells Bumblebee to Shia.
Yep.
So, okay. Bumblebee.
And Travis Van Winkle. I forgot about Travis Van Winkle. He plays Michaela's boyfriend.
Oh, right.
And the only other thing I think I've seen him in was the Friday the 13th remake. So
the interesting thing about Bumblebee is it ends with him turning into
the
what we see at the beginning of Transformers, but like a fresh new version of it. How do you feel about that?
I don't know how they're if they're even going to tie that.
Do you think it was just kind of a, like a tip of the hat? Like, that,
just like, hey, here's we're going to tie everything together.
Yeah.
Because obviously the Autobots are coming to Earth at the end of that movie.
Right.
It's been out for a few months, so you're spoiled. You're spoiled.
If you didn't see it, that's your fault because it's a good-ass movie.
But I think that the Charlie character is going to play a more role if there's a Bumblebee 2.
Sure.
Like, you know, that wasn't like a one-off character.
I think they're going to start calling her Spike. Well, you know. So, but...
But I mean, like, it's one of those things where tip of the hat, maybe, to those movies. Like, yeah, this might tie into those, but it probably won't type things. I mean, the movie used the military a lot. The military is very, like, very welcome to Michael Bay.
Right.
And Michael Bay is very respectful of the military. Yeah. So, like, the military stuff in this movie is spot on, great, you know, runs great.
Yeah.
All the car companies loaning cars.
Well,
like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly GM cars.
Right, but I mean, it was like, you know, there was a few other things in there. But, I mean, it was just one of those movies where it's like, it was cool to see it in a theater. Like, and, you know, it was loud. I mean,
it was
a
really
loud movie.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, you got to see these characters for real, quote unquote, instead of just being cartoons.
This one made me mad, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a great sequel called Prime. Go watch the Prime cartoons.
Well, but when they killed Jazz.
Well.
You know, they didn't need to kill.
Somebody had to die.
They didn't need to kill Jazz. Like, Ratchet is there to die. The fact that Ratchet made it three movies is beyond me. So.
I don't know.
Anyway. But
who was that? That was Darius McCrary.
Yeah.
From Family Matters.
Yep. Eddie.
Yeah, it was all part of the Family Matters More conspiracy.
Yeah, we talked about that. So, all right.
Yeah, Frenzy, Starscream, Bone Crusher, Megatron, Barricade were some of the Decepticons. And that, so.
That Prime cartoon series was awesome. Is awesome.
Yeah.
So, well worth watching.
And it kind of ties to this movie. Like,
I mean, it really does
tie
the movie,
but it goes in a different, like,
yeah,
everything in the Transformers universe that is, like, you know, they're different movies in that pretty much are parallel universes.
Yeah.
That, like, some of it's like, oh, this is similar to that, but, like, things go a different way type thing. So I just call them, like, you know,
and poor
parallel universes.
Poor Cliffjumper just can't catch a break anywhere. Voiced by The Rock in Prime. So
was he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So. All right.
I've seen that a long time ago.
My last one. You ready
for
this?
Oh, did you want to know the...
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I mean, it made like $500 or $800 million or something crazy like
that.
So
what? This movie
came out... Or did do
a
billion.
2007. Oh, yeah, 2007, but it doesn't have the date.
It was like May or June.
Huh. Wait a minute. Am I looking at the right thing?
Probably not.
Oh, I am. This is the film series I'm looking at. Sorry, I got to go to the film. Transformers. Okay, here we go. Here we go. It came out in July.
July 3rd. So it
was
a 4th of July movie.
Yeah. $150 million budget. $709.7 million. I wonder why a sequel got made.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, these movies have always done well up until the last night. And then... Was that the last night?
Yeah, the last night.
Yeah, and then Bumblebee didn't do great, but it exceeded expectations.
It's that glutting the market thing.
Yeah.
So.
I
mean, last night made $605.4 million.
Right, which most franchises would kill to have.
It cost between $217 and $260 million. Yeah. That's why it didn't do so well.
Yeah.
And then Bumblebee, since we're looking at it, Bumblebee cost between $102 and $135 million and made $459.5 million. So that's a decent turnover for
that. I mean, the funny thing is you look at these movies that, like those two movies in particular, right? They made $1 billion between the two of them, right?
Yeah.
And they're considered bombs.
You know.
It's just ridiculous.
I think, like, you know, it's just the glutting of the market. It's like the Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's the Star Wars backlash. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
There's just too much at once.
Yep.
And that. So what's your last one?
Hot Rod.
Okay.
The Andy Samberg movie. I love it.
I've seen that once.
I did not see this one in the theater. I discovered this one on streaming. And yeah, it's him and Danny McBride and Bill Hader and Will Arnett.
Pretty much all the same people that were in all the other movies you named.
Essentially, yeah. Isla Fisher.
Did Judd Apatow produce it in some way or not?
No, he did not. This is a Lorne Michaels, Will Ferrell.
So it's a John Goldwyn. Night Live movie.
Well, it's from the Lonely Island. Andy Samberg and Joma.
Well, this was when Samberg was on Saturday Night Live, wasn't it?
Yeah. So this was his first movie.
So Lorne Michaels would throw money into any movie that, had a person.
Well, because he had done all those digital shorts and stuff that. And
but it's the same as anybody who was in WWE who was in a movie, WWE threw money into that movie because they're willing to.
I mean, this is Wayne's World finance or A Night at the Roxbury or, just all this stuff. So this one was a $25 million budget, and it made $14 million in the theater. It was an August movie. It was beginning of August. Yeah. So,
it's an okay movie. I mean, it's not.
Ian McShane is in this as well. You know what? I love Andy Samberg. He's one of my favorite actors. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is one of my favorite shows.
Okay.
Pop Star, Never Stopping was really funny.
I've not watched that one.
He did the... Those sports mockumentaries on HBO.
I've seen a couple of those.
The 7 Days in Hell with Kit Harington. Yeah. And then the tour to whatever, making fun of the steroids and drugs.
I never watched that one.
In the Tour
de
France.
I watched the one with Kit Harington.
Yeah. Anyway. So I love this. He does the punch dancing from Footloose.
Yeah.
Through the woods and everything. And then falls down a mountain. And he's just... Falling and falling.
Right.
But I love the whole dare to be great thing that's put in front of him that he does. And then his relationship with Ian McShane is great.
Yeah.
Because Bill is his stepdad and he just beats the crap out of him mercilessly. I'm just going to come up and beat you. They fight because he's trying to prove that he's a man. And yeah. And then just his crew.
It's Ian McShane. He's a man's man.
And the whole crew, his whole crew is great. Danny McBride is so funny in this movie. And, you can see I have a huge smile just thinking about this movie. I love watching this. I watch this a couple times a year. If I'm just bored and I need something in the background or if I'm working on a wireframe or something, I'll just throw it on my phone.
Sure.
And let it go and listen more than watch. But yeah, this is I don't know. I felt 2007 for me was a really good year for my sense of humor.
I've seen a lot of action movies in 2007.
Yeah. A lot of these comedies, Dewey Cox and Blades of Glory and Hot Fuzz is a horror comedy action, genre bending.
Crazy jumbled up.
Yeah, it was
the Coronado trilogy is literally not describable as one genre. Like any of them. So
its genre is Coronado trilogy. Right. So, but I mean, yeah, it's one of those things Superbad. That's right up my alley. That was funny.
That was a fun movie.
Disturbia was kind of that thriller thing for me. And then Shoot 'em Up was just straight up action movie that had funny moments in it. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, were there better movies that came out in 2007? Absolutely. Did
Pirates of the Caribbean at World 10.
Did movies make more money? Absolutely.
But you disagree that Pirates of the Caribbean at World 10
I just
the
didn't
best
like the
movie of the year.
No. Well, it didn't say it was the best. It was the movie that made the most amount
of money.
What won
the Academy Award for 2007?
I don't know. Let's see.
Why don't I just ask? What won the Academy Award for 2007? It won't. Oh, there we go. Now it's listening. What won the Academy Award for 2007?
The Departed.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay, fair enough.
Departed was Best Picture. Forrest Whitaker won for The Last King of Scotland. Helen Mirren won for The Queen. Alan Arkin.
She won for National Treasure, Book of Secrets.
Yeah, oh, okay. Alan Arkin won Best Supporting Actor for Little Miss Sunshine, which was a great movie.
That's a great
Jennifer
movie.
Hudson won for Dreamgirls.
That was
Girls.
Another one that I hadn't seen until recently.
So, like, you know, Happy Feet, that was the best animated that year.
That.
I mean, An Inconvenient Truth came out this year. Pan's Labyrinth. Like, this was a good year. Like,
I still haven't seen that.
I thought this was a really good year for movies for the most part. But when I look back to 2007, like, what
you
movies do I want to watch?
Yeah.
These are the ones I want to watch.
Right,
these are the ones that I go after. And, like, this is not, like, we're not doing this saying, like, these are the best. It's like, no, these were my favorites. So
I'll tell you, Transformers wasn't the best movie.
I mean, The Departed is an amazing movie that Martin Scorsese put together. The Last King of Scotland is an amazing movie.
I don't think
it's
I've
heartbreaking
seen that.
And it's violent.
Isn't
it's
that
viral?
The,
it's the African warlord.
Yeah, Idi Amin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. On that note, anything else to add?
Nope.
No. Awesome.
Hope you like the show.
Yeah. See you guys there. Oh, I do have one thing.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Luke Perry.
Yeah.
Luke Perry passed away. 52 years old. Died of a stroke. It sucks.
It's life.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
King Kong Bundy died too.
I know. King Kong Bundy died. That was, I found that out.
And
today.
The lead singer Prodigy died too.
He killed himself though. So, I mean, he still died, but it was a suicide. Yeah.
Oh, did I see? I did.
And he was only like 49.
I didn't hear that.
King Kong Bundy was 64. Wow. He was, you know, that's old for a wrestler.
Right.
So, anyway. Yeah, so there's
R.I.P.
the three.
To all these fellows.
Yeah. You know? Thanks for entertaining us for all these years.
Yeah.
So.
And you'll be entertaining people for years to come.
Yep. So if you want a really good Luke Perry role, go watch Oz when he plays the preacher who gets sent to prison. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and if you like wrestling, his son is in AEW as Jungle Boy. So just putting that out there.
All right.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Later.
The FS Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.